What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
So a lot of Giants talk, guys coming back from injury, but there's also some Jet news. Sauce Gardner, who's been out of practice for a while, he returned to practice today. So that is great news for the Jets. And Teague, I look at Sauce Gardner this year, and I think it's out of really any other Jet besides maybe Fields.
Right.
This is a prove-it year for me for Sauce. I mean, he caught a lot of flack last year about his lack of tackling and maybe playing a little soft right. and taking some steps backwards. You want to chalk that up to just a bad year, bad locker room, bad culture, and he was just like, whatever, fine. But Sauce Gardner in his first couple of years was as good as it gets at cornerback. And I think there's at least some question marks going into this season, like which Sauce Gardner we're going to get.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's prove it in fan view only. Because prove it generally means you got to earn your contract. He's already gotten his contract.
Yeah, he's got his bread.
We know he's got his extension. Now it's a matter of proving to the league, to the fans, and maybe even to an extent his teammates, right? That he is going to be that guy that you saw in year one and year two, not in year three, who was inconsistent, didn't want to tackle, all those other things. He looked the part in the first preseason game, so you hope that now healthy, he stays that way. Because let's face it, man, you can be a lockdown corner, but you also have to be a contributor in tackling and getting after the ball and being a playmaker when you're not pass defending. And so I think you're right about that, but it's also imperative because if it's not him, who's their great DB?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a question mark back there. They brought in some free agents, obviously. Brandon Stevens, who came in from Baltimore. Andre Sisco, who we talked about. But then the starting safety, at least via the depth chart, and I think this will likely be the case, is Malachi Moore, who's a rookie out of Alabama. He played high-level football. So, and having seen him down in Alabama, I know he's a good player, but he's a rookie. So the vet, like the proven guy, is Sauce Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
On that side of the ball, on that second, third level.
Yeah, and I think in many ways, well, number one, the Jets right now are boring. And if you've been a lifelong, and which, why wouldn't you be, Jet fan, you want your team to be boring.
Right.
Because there's a lot of times where the Jets haven't been boring, I don't know, the last couple of years, and it hasn't resulted in wins. There's more stuff in-house. It's just not the circus or the reality. They were literally the Real Housewives of New Jersey for the last couple of years. And at some point, it's like they needed a total cleanse from that. And that starts with bringing in an Aaron Glenn who's going to build the program the way he wants to build it. Obviously, he's inheriting some of the players, which is fine because those players have played well. I just think last year was really almost across the board a down year. My point is that the results don't need to be there this year as far as wins. I think even a Beningo or perhaps a Jet fan, bro, I don't got a lot of years left. Their expectations this year are...
You hate the Jets.
Good football where they're not an embarrassment. They're not a joke. They're heading in the right direction. Maybe they don't have their franchise quarterback in-house. We'll see if Fields can develop, especially throwing the ball down the field. But I look at that roster, and to me, Sauce Gardner, out of anybody on the team, needs to show that he is back to being that all-pro player. And it wasn't just, a couple years that he was an all-pro, and now he's kind of going backwards. You know what I mean?
Well, Sauce and Garrett both got paid to be the franchise anchors.
Yep.
And
sure did.
What that means is that you have to show up every single game. You have to be accountable every single game. You can't be making excuses. You can't be saying, you have to be Francisco Lindor.
Leaders of the team.
Good, bad, whatever. You're not skipping the podium and you're saying it exactly as it happened. And there's an accountability that starts with you as the offensive or defensive leader and it carries through the team. That's what they're paid to do. They're the guys, right? I know Quincy and Quinnen are both there on that side of the ball as well, but the people who we're going to look at are Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson.
Absolutely.
Period.
All right, it's time for your baseball IQ trivia presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. All right, the question for this week is, and obviously the Yankees are playing the Rays, and we'll get into the Yankees a little bit later on in the show once we get an official lineup here and see what's going on with Stanton. But the question is, which Yankee pitcher started the first ever game between the Yankees and the then Devil Rays in 1998? Right now, be caller number 7 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 to answer your baseball IQ trivia question, and you could win a $250 American Express gift card. Your baseball IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and Cadillac's family of EVs, including the first ever all-electric Escalade IQ. All right, Evan and Tiki here. Evan and Sean on vacation, so you got Tiki, you got Loogie. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
What's up, Mario?
Hey, how you doing? Great call, guys.
Appreciate you.
Great show. I got a question for you, Tiki, from a football standpoint, when you were talking about Sauce Gardner.
Right.
I noticed some things with Barkley before and Sauce Gardner, and I put it in the same category. Tell me if I have any, if it makes sense what I'm saying. I remember Barkley watching him block when he was with the Giants, right? And I know he can squat 600. I'm a bodybuilder. I've worked out my whole life. Right. I know he's extremely powerful, you know?
Right.
And I used to see him, like, shying away from blocks, getting run over, not taking the guy head on, you know? Then all of a sudden, he went to Philly, he got his contract, and he was blocking like an animal. Now, Gardner, same thing. Gardner, business decision. Gardner, same thing. Didn't tackle last year. Why? He didn't have a contract. The guy's a skinny Dean,
right.
and he made a business decision. I'm not getting run over because now you're not allowed to cut the legs of the offensive line. And when they come at you, you got to take a hit.
That's
or you
got to
go
point.
Sideways or what?
No, you take the
right?
L. So, yeah, when a lineman's coming down right down your center mass as a cornerback or a safety, you unless you just want to run out of the way and force the runner inside, you're taking an L, right? And it's
yeah.
hard. So I'm not saying he did make a business decision, but I could see him doing that. As for Saquon, I think it was more of a technique thing, Mario, because I struggled with this for most of my, like the first 4 years. I didn't know how to like hit a guy. I mean, I was strong enough, at least I just didn't know how to do it, you know? And so you end up like turning your shoulder, like, how can I get the most power into this shot? But then you whiff because you're not square and you're not looking at his body right. And so it took me time. I think it took Saquon time. But let's also not forget, in Philly, their coaching is, I mean, it's excellent. They have one of the best offensive line coaches in football. And so learning from those guys made a huge difference, I think, in his overall game.
Yeah, it just sounds kind of funny that it just happened after he signed the contract.
Well,
that's
I mean,
all I'm saying.
He also kind of just signed the contract and rushed for 2,000 yards in Philadelphia, too.
Mm-hmm.
So are you saying you're hoping that happens for Sauce Gardner?
We'll see that. I believe now he's going to say, you know what, if I get run over and I get really hurt, at least I got $25 million guaranteed, whatever
right,
the number is.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah.
I'm taken care of. If I got run over last year and I couldn't play again, they would throw me down out the curb.
Mario, before we hang up on you, because Mario's called my show a lot.
He's bringing up a good point. I want to address it, so I don't want to forget what you just said, but go ahead.
Okay, because I didn't know this about Mario. You're a power lifter? You're pushing plates? I didn't realize that about
you.
So you were eating
you know what?
26
I
meals a day?
Life, you know? Let me tell you what I did. Yeah. Listen to what I did at 140 pounds. I was doing dumbbell presses. Dumbbell presses were 105 for 6 reps, and I weighed 140.
What?
What?
Like bench pressing or overhead pressing?
No, dumbbell presses.
So overhead.
Bench, you know what dumbbell.
Yeah.
No. The same thing as a bench press, but with dumbbell.
Dumbbell bench. I got you. Right.
Yeah, dumbbell bench, 105s in each hand, 6 reps. I weighed 140.
That's impressive.
I was doing I was doing crazy stuff like dips. You did a lot of dips.
Yeah,
sure,
weighted dips. How much weight did you have on it on the chain?
100.
Oh man, dude.
I could get 8 reps with 100.
Wow.
That's basically 250.
Right,
that's like
right now,
250.
Listen,
that's basically doing 250.
Yeah. Last thing, Tiki. I weigh. I'm like 69 years old. I could still do 100 push-ups in one set.
Okay,
you can challenge Tiki.
I do 200.
Let's
I do 200
go.
A day.
Let's go, Mario. Let's go.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Pleasure, Mario. Now, I brought up something interesting about the contract, and you know, once you get paid, you feel like they took care of me. I now I owe it to give every bit of myself, and the last thing you want to do is get hurt, but. I think something else happens for the players that truly want to be great when they sign a long-term contract. it accelerates that desire to be great.
Right. Right. They want to earn it.
Not even that. It's like it gives you license because you kind of feel like you're going to, this is your home. Like this has now become my forever professional home. And the only way I leave a lasting legacy, and I hate using that word, but I'll use it because it makes it perfectly applies here on this organization, is if I am a great player. Not like, okay, and we could count on you every 3 or 4 days, but I am an all-time great. And once you get that contract after your first deal is done and you're likely going into your eighth year, after this contract is over, eighth or ninth year, and you're probably going to finish out your career here, it's that desire to be great that will make you forever remembered. And not all players have that. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, I do.
Some guys are they're just happy. They're just like content. All right, I'm good, man. I got paid. I'm good. But it's the guys who want their names on the side of the building.
Yep.
Those are the guys that you want to pay. It's hard to figure it out, but if you do it right, it's a beautiful thing.
Right, or be like you're a cornerback for the Jets. You want to have a better career than Darrell Revis.
100%.
Like you want to compare yourself to the greats that have played for that franchise, and that's what we talked about with Saquon. Now, look, he went to Philly. It ended up being the right call. He'll probably spend the rest of his career there. And let's be real, he's going to be remembered more for being an Eagle than a Giant. I know that sounds crazy. I mean, he had that amazing season. He won a Super Bowl. If he has years, maybe not that great over the next couple of years, you'll think of him more probably as an Eagle than you will a Giant because he had the success he had there.
What hospital were you born in?
The hospital I was born
in. Yeah. Where were you born?
I was born, and as far as I know, and I don't remember it that well, in Plainview, Long Island. I lived in Bethpage my whole life, but I believe I was born in Plainview Hospital.
Plainview Hospital. Who would have known that 40 years later...
What do you mean?
Tommy, positive Tommy, would be celebrating his birthday on WFAN.
Come on.
With Dunkin' Donuts. Are they faced? They are faced, Dunkin' Donuts. Happy birthday to Tommy. Happy birthday to Tommy. Forever stay positive, Tommy. Because we love you, positive Tommy. Let's see him.
Let's see him. Thank you to you guys. Thank you to Dunkin'. So the picture on the donut is me down the shore at the legendary DJs, the hallowed halls of DJs, one of my favorite places to party on earth in Belmore, New Jersey. And this is me dressed up as the Stanley Cup because I lost the bet to Sean,
let me nosh.
Yep. Because the Rangers went further than the Knicks that year. So salute, everybody, as we have a bite. I turned 40 today. Here's a donut. I am now about to eat my head.
Nice.
And they got the cream in the middle. Nice. I wasn't sure there was going to be jelly or cream, but it was cream.
Right, I mean, you're talking with your mouth full, but I will both talk with our mouth full because happy birthday, Tom.
I appreciate that. But the thing is, like, I like jelly donuts, but I like the Boston cream or Bavarian cream.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
But this is pretty good.
This is great.
Mm.
I never tasted so good.
I love that. Oh.
Especially when you eat yourself.
Yeah, I don't want cream all over my mouth. That'll get all over the internet. That'll be a viral thing. It's tough to come back from the white cream on the face. You know what I mean? WFN Reddit will have a field day with that. People that stare at pictures of women's feet all night and then make comments about radio hosts. But, yeah.
Right.
So I appreciate it. From Duncan, thank you. Great sponsor, great partner. Very much thank you. And I'm going to eat these donuts. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a call. Because I'm about to choke.
Right.
So we're going to go to Ian Immenalpin. What's up, man?
What's up, Ian?
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call. Tommy, happy birthday and many more.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
I just want to piggyback, Kiki, on what you said earlier regarding about Jackson Dart being at the right place and the right time and the right coaches.
Right.
I hope that Mr. Mara doesn't listen to the media, not you guys necessarily, but just the media in general and the fans, and that he keeps Dable in chain, because even though Daniel Jones was obviously not the right pick, but like Mr. Maris said, you know, a couple of years ago, that everything is screwed up with all different coaches.
That's true.
And this year, I finally feel that this is Dable and Shane. This is their team. They have their prints on their team.
Right.
I feel like the stench of Gettleman, Joe Judge, Pat Shurmur is gone. Yes, there's a few players that remain, but I think this is their team. And I think if they get rid of these guys, and then the same thing's going to happen again, They're going to get, you know, the new people are going to want their guys again, and it's going to screw up Jackson Dart.
Right.
I really feel they have a good thing with Dable and Shane. And I just wish, like, I want to wake up to news saying that they were extended, their contracts were extended.
Yeah.
Because I think if they're...
Right, because they're all... I think they signed five-year deals?
They don't... Yeah, but I would rather them be extended now rather than playing, you know, coaching on when I'm like, oh no, I got to do this.
Right. Yeah. You don't want them coaching in a lame duck season. But you, I think that's what we were alluding to earlier here, and appreciate your call. It feels like that, like the plan is starting to fall into place for the Giants and for this roster. And part of that is having to make hard roster decisions.
Right.
The last couple of years, there have not been hard roster decisions, save for the Daniel Jones, mm-hmm. Saquon Barkley, which one of these guys are you going to pay? Right. I haven't been like, whoa, we got to keep this guy over this guy. You haven't had that issue at all.
My
right,
bad.
With the Giants. That's all good.
I hit a button here because
right.
I spilled water in the studio. That's
right. It's all good. But I feel like Ian's is on it. And I think my gut is that it's not an issue right now. But again, this is all going to be determined on what the games look like.
Yep.
Because last year, they lost some games, and they were grossly uncompetitive. They can't have that, and I don't think that's going to happen. It just doesn't feel like the roster lends itself to that this season.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Daniel Jones has been named the Colts starting quarterback for week one against the Dolphins in what is, you know, a quarterback battle with him and Anthony Richardson. Not necessarily the most sexiest quarterback battle, but there's obviously ties here to New York. And I know for me as a Giant fan, I wish Daniel Jones nothing but the best. It was obvious at this point last year, like, you know, his career with the Giants was over. It doesn't mean his NFL career is necessarily over.
He just was unwilling to do what Dave's wanted him to do,
yeah,
which is push the ball down the field.
Yeah, he just couldn't pull the trigger anymore to get the ball deep. And now he's in a situation in Indy, which is a real good one. They have a really good offensive line. They have a great running game. They have some nice wide receivers. It's a good team. And if Daniel Jones stays healthy, I think the Colts are going to be borderline playoff team, might even make the playoffs. So you could see Daniel Jones back in the playoffs now just in Indianapolis. And the big question mark, obviously, is always with him, is just staying healthy. But, you know, that's good for DJ. I'm glad that he was able to land on a team where he had an opportunity to win a job. He has now won that job, and he will be the starting quarterback for the Colts in week one.
Yeah, now look, Indianapolis Colts fans, they might get frustrated, just like we got frustrated with some of the things that Daniel Jones did. But a year ago, with pretty inconsistent quarterback play, they were 8-9, and in the last couple of weeks, so late December, early January, you were still talking about the Colts as being a playoff contender. And so they've been in the position, and that's with bad quarterback play. Daniel Jones is not a bad quarterback. He's actually can be really good as long as he's healthy and he's willing to be the guy that we saw in his rookie season, first two seasons or so, rather than the last couple where he was gun shy. Now, the offensive line is better in Indy than it was with the Giants for his last couple of years. So maybe, you know, he has, there's something positive to look for. I think he probably won this job. One, because he's a veteran, been around, had lots of success, lots of failures too, but lots of success going to playoffs and winning. We all know he got that Daniel Dimes moniker because he was throwing dimes early in his career. So there's just an up and down type feeling about him, but he's a vet. And he knows what he's doing, and he can learn offenses pretty quickly. Whereas Anthony Richardson has had his struggles figuring out how to be an NFL quarterback, but also staying healthy. Because I think he got banged up at the very beginning of training camp, and that little edge and what was a neck battle shifted towards Daniel. And he gets named the starter before the last preseason game, which is an interesting development. Because you thought they'd at least go through the last preseason game. NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
888-808-1019 is the number to call. So I'm going to skip ahead to this caller here, just because the topic is funny to me, and this could be spicy, but we'll find out. Let's go to Stan in Hudson Falls. What's up, Stan?
Yeah, first time caller. I love your guys' show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
My question is, what has the weasel?
Well, who's the weasel? Against? Bobby Heenan? Bobby is no longer with us, but he was the weasel, or as he called himself, the brain. It's not fair to Flair.
No, I'm talking about David Stern.
Why is David Stern's, in your mind, a weasel?
Because what has he got against Pete Alonso?
What do you mean, what has he got against Pete Alonso? Pete Alonso's on the Mets. If David Stern's didn't like Pete Alonso, he wouldn't be here.
Right.
I don't understand that. Last year, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He signed Alonso for 2 years.
Yep.
You tell me he didn't intend to have Vlad as the first baseman. He thought he had him in his back pocket.
I think there was probably some eyes for Vlad Jr., which I alluded to in the offseason. But in my plan, at least, it was to have Pete Alonso and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. here. Now, as far as last year in the contract negotiations, there was no market for Pete Alonso, so the Mets were not going to bid against each other. And I also think, and Steve Cohen said this at Amazing Day, the negotiations with Boris and Soto were tough because it's Boris. It's a generational talent free agent. And I think he, being Steve Cohen, had Boris fatigue. So imagine going through all those contract negotiations with Soto, and then I walk in the door, I was going to give another reference later, and then Pete Alonso walks in the door, and you're just like, I don't want to deal with Scott Boris anymore, and we know there's not a market for Alonso. I think this offseason, and Pete was coming off a year that wasn't exactly peak Pete Alonso. He's having a great year. He's been clutch. He's going to opt out. He's going to have a bigger market, and I think the Mets realize that, and they're going to pony up. So the weasel, as you call him, David Stearns, is going to bring Pete Alonso back. I just think it was a circumstance last year.
You really think he'll bring him back?
Yes, I do. Off the season he has had, and I think that, Stan, the David Wright day, which was a great day, I was there. You're talking about a lifelong Met. Steve Cohen was sitting on the field for the ceremonies. The reaction of the fans that day for David Wright, who was a homegrown Met, spent his entire career here with the Mets, that is important to this fan base. And I think Steve and David, probably not to the same effect, even though they're both Met fans, realized the importance of that, number one, for business,
right,
and number two, just for the sentimentality of the fans.
But you don't think David Stern is one of the problems behind the Mets losing the heart and the chemistry?
No, I do not. No, because he was here last year when they went to the NLCS.
I understand that, but they could have signed Pete a few years ago even. And
but he wasn't here a few years ago. I understand that, but they also did Pete a favor with the option. They gave Pete a contract that gave him the ability to opt out, meaning have the big year he's having and then go search for contracts elsewhere.
Try to go get paid.
Yeah.
And if they can work out a deal, then he'll be here. If not, he'll be someplace else. So, he's not a weasel. I think he did him a favor. He made him the highest paid at the time, and it didn't last long because Vlad Jr. quickly got $35 million. But when he was making $30 million a year, he was the first baseman to make that, right? And then Vlad Jr. surpassed him. But that's just the nature of the business. And obviously, Vlad is much younger than Pete Alonso is.
Yeah, and there's a narrative, because I've gotten a couple of calls about this right now, that David Stearns is, took his cousin to prom, which is an insinuation that he's a geek and he's an analytical nerd and he screwed up the pitching staff and he doesn't like Pete Alonso, which I think are just all, maybe I don't know who he took to prom, but it's a gross overstatement or exaggeration of what's actually going on here, because the team did go to the NLCS. And yes, every single pitching move you're going to make isn't going to work out, but Quintana worked out last year. Severino worked out last year. Look what they've done with David Peterson. Manaea has worked out. Griffin Canning was working out. Frankie Montas so far hasn't worked out. The pitching, the trades they made at the deadline for Rogers and Helsley, those are elite arms. You haven't gotten everything you want out of those guys just yet, but everyone at the time agreed those were good moves. And it's kind of, to me now, fans are just pointing out at David Stearns and going, yeah, he's to blame. Right. He's to blame. And he's not to blame because the team is in a position to go back to October for the second straight year, something that doesn't happen often in the Mets history.
Right. David Peterson on the mound tonight versus Jake Irving. Lindor, Soto, Nimmo, Alonso, McNeil. It's second. Vientos is DHing. Brett Beatty playing third base. Torrens obviously catching with Francisco Alvarez on the 10-day IL, retroactive to yesterday. And then Cedric Mullins in center field pulling up the ninth spot.
Now, speaking of the Mets, and he had texted us this yesterday, he being Evan, and we were going to bring it up today, and then he tweeted it out last night. So this is from Evan yesterday, I think around 5 o'clock. Just got the biggest Mets season ticket price increase I think I've ever had. Okay.
Really?
Now, I went through a few of the comments.
Wait, was there a price increase last year also?
I don't remember. I know that Evan...
I think he talked about it, but I almost feel like he was talking about the Knicks.
I know, because the reason with the Knicks is what he loves about the Knicks and the Garden is they don't raise the prices
That's right.
I think the Mets did raise prices, and Evan did the whole, if you're going to raise the prices, you better do the right thing. And that was before, you know, they signed Soto.
Right.
So that would have been going into last season.
So he had the biggest increase ever this year.
And he's had season tickets for his whole life.
So that means they're going to do the right thing again and sign Pete Alonso to a long-term deal. Is that what that means?
I think the pessimist or someone going through the seven stages of Soto grief hearken this or directly link this to Juan Soto, meaning the Mets paid all this money
for Juan Soto,
and now the Met fan has to pick up the tab.
Yeah, but
I'm not saying that. I'm not a season ticket holder.
But
if you are,
but haven't they already started to pick up the tab by throwing 40,000 in the ballpark every night?
Well, I mean, 800 mil is a lot of boxes of ziti. I mean, that's a lot of fajoles. They, you know what I mean? We're not going to set up a GoFundMe account for Steve Cohen, but that it is a lot of money. That I'm saying that's what the comments are, and I think there's a lot of people out there go, see, you sign Juan Soto, and because you know it's the Yankee thing, meaning like you want to be Big Brother, you want to be the Yankees, you want to have all these big time free agents. Well, then you're going to pay for it somewhere, and a lot of people think that's why the prices are being raised. Honestly, if you're packing the houses now, isn't that just business that you would like, you know, take advantage of the excitement that is surrounding Citi Field?
Yeah. I think we just know that a big part of the team's revenue comes from having butts and seats in the ballpark.
Yeah.
I think there was Evan just showed us this last week before he left. The NFL, it's only like 19% of their total revenue because of their massive TV contract comes from people in the stands, whereas baseball is something like 40% or 38 or 40-something percent or so. So it's a big part of the total revenue for each team. So you got to have people in the stadium.
Yep.
So they've done that to an extent.
Yeah, unlike really any other sport, the turnstile in baseball is super important. And obviously there's a million games and you want to get people there. And the Met fan has showed up this year. Now you want to say Steve Cohen, you know, he called all the fans, and I'm paraphrasing, we did this with Batiki, he's calling all the fans, you know, poors, and he was shaming them to come.
Oh, he can't call them poors anymore because they come in mass.
No, we were having a little fun with that. And I had no issue with that because that was Steve saying, look, I got you on Soto, and I put together this team. We went to the NLCS last year. Show up. And the Mets have shown up. And attendance has been tremendous. Sometimes this happens. Now, if you are a season ticket holder and you had, because let's be real here, and I'm not gonna, and I don't think he meant to do this. Although I saw some of the comments here. I mean, Evan has season tickets for teams he doesn't root for, so nobody's gonna light a candle for Evan because they raised the bill. And I don't think he's looking for sympathy. I think he just put that out there as number one.
Just a matter of fact.
Matter of fact, and also looking out for the fans because I'm sure he's not alone. There's probably plenty of you out there that have met season ticket holders, and you got a price rake. I mean, it is what it is. Sometimes that's the price of doing business. But I don't pay to go to games, so I probably shouldn't be the person speaking for them myself here. But if I were to pay to go to games and I was a season ticket holder, if you are I think about this all the time, like with food. So my wife and I like to go to a lot of restaurants. I will pay a lot of money for food as long as it's good. There's nothing worse than dropping a ton of money on a meal and it sucks.
And you're still hungry when you leave.
The only time...
Unsatisfied. Stopping at McDonald's or whatever.
Ordering a pizza. Exactly. The only time I will accept paying a lot of money for a so-so meal is if the ambience is good. Or the ambience. That's like more of a...
Ambiance.
Ambiance is probably what you take before it. Ambiance is good. Ambient. Meaning, Ambien is the drug, right? Yes. What the hell is Ambien then?
I don't know what ambiance.
Oh, whatever. You knew what I meant.
Church
ambience.
It up. Church it up, Tom.
All right, take two. The only way I would the only way I would ever be okay with spending a lot of money at a so-so location is if the what's the word?
Ambiance.
Line, please. Ambiance is really good, meaning you're outside or wherever the case may be, and it's a nice view. Then, because a lot of times the places that have that nice views and stuff like that, the food's like so-so because right. you're paying for being in a nice place. Anyway, if the food sucks, then I'm mad. So I don't mind, or you shouldn't mind, paying a lot more money if the product is good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like
you,
of course.
You get what you pay for.
You get what you pay for. And so I think with the Mets, for the first, I don't know, half plus of this season, you're like, damn, this is worth it. Charge me whatever the hell you want. We're going to the World Series and win it. Now you're kind of like, yeah. I get rid of these tickets.
Right. Well, that's the other
thing. They're not going to win.
And that's the other thing, too.
But now it feels like it's coming back around.
Exactly.
Two in a row. Let's see what happens in this series.
No doubt. And they got the Nationals coming up here. Mm-hmm. They're in Washington. And if you're a season ticket holder, you know the deal. Even if they're breaking news here. What do we got?
One more follow-up on Francisco Alvarez, who just spoke. Carlos Mendoza just spoke to the media. Mm-hmm. He needs thumb surgery. So Francisco Alvarez needs thumb surgery, but the Mets are going to see if he can play through it. We're hopeful, Mendoza said, but there is a chance he is done for the year if he can't play through it.
All right,
so he needs surgery.
He's got a UCL sprain. So the UCL is right on the inside of your thumb. So it's on a throwing hand, correct?
Yes, the right, yeah.
Right throwing hand. So the UCL thumb sprain, it's right in the middle here. And so think about having to grip a baseball. We don't have one in here. Gripping a baseball.
We have Vince Carter's head.
Right, which is one thing. But then also gripping the bat.
Right.
That also becomes the issue if your thumb is just not. Imagine gripping a bat with just your fully left hand and then your four, you know, non-thumb fingers, regular fingers.
Yeah.
Right? It's just hard to do. So this feels like out for the season.
Yeah. If we have Mendy here, we'll get to him in 1 second here. You never want to speculate, but when you hear surgery, mm-hmm. he's going to try to play through it.
Well, he's saying he needs surgery.
Yeah.
That means it's not like a sprain. It means it's somewhat torn.
And we're burning
even
daylight
though a sprain
here.
is a tear, but still.
Yeah, it's mid-August. So, right. I mean, to get back at the, you know, either end of September, early October is difficult when you're going to get surgery. Anyway, here is Carlos Mendoza speaking about Francisco Alvarez needing surgery.
What is the severity of Alvarez's injury?
Yeah, so obviously he's got a UCL, the ligament injury. He needs surgery, obviously. But right now, talking to multiple doctors, the plan is to give him 10 to 14 days to calm down the inflammation and see where he's at after that. As far as like gripping that bat, if he's going to be able to swing there. There's players in the past that can play through this, you know, and that's what we're giving a chance. He goes and have surgery right now. He's going to be done for the season anyway. So, you know, he wants to give it a try. We're hopeful that, you know, he can play through this, but we just got to wait and see.
So pain management, is that what we're looking at?
No, this feels more like functional strength. I'm trying to think. So my last season, we're playing the Bears. And one of their linebackers, I don't think it was Urlacher, but one of them, it broke my thumb, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I got it broke right underneath here, right in that little, below the joint. So it wasn't a bad break, but it was clean, and it hurt like hell.
I'm sure.
But nothing was damaged other than the bone.
Mm-hmm.
The bone was broken, but there was no ligament damage. So I could still kind of like move my thumb and had like strength. So if they held my thumb down, I could still had strength in it. So I just said, tape it up. They didn't even take my glove off. Throw some dirt on it. Let's go play. I could actually carry the ball in my right hand still because fundamentally it didn't hurt me, right? Functionally, it didn't hurt me. When you have to manipulate a bat or a ball and that ligament, which is functional, not just pain, I don't know how he plays. I really don't know how he plays.
I guess the question is, I'm assuming he can't hurt it more, right?
No, I mean, because he's going to have to get surgery anyway.
Right, so if he can play through the pain,
but
and he's not going to...
I don't know how you support it, right? How do you support it without compromising functionality?
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, I hear what you're saying. It's not a pain management thing. It's like you have to catch a ball, you have to grip a bat,
right.
And like the way it's hurt, it's not going to be able to do it.
Right,
Right, because if he can't get hurt anymore, then that's like thrown out the window. But yeah, can he rip it back?
But Rosie, think about like what a ligament does. It like it keeps it allows your movement in your joint. So if that thing is sprained or torn, how are you moving the joint? So I don't know.
Right. It sounds like he's done for the year based off that.
Like I said, I hate to speculate it. So we're just going to have to sit back and wait, you know, 10 to 14 days. And I think what Tiki laid out there, and this is just the difference in the sports, not just right. in the difference in the people, but Alvarez, he's got to get the surgery, and Tiki broke his thumb and put Robitussin on it. Broke my leg, daddy poured Robitussin on it. Get the tussin, get it on the bone. Is that not the best?
Just rub it in.
More tussin.
Just rub the tussin in.
You know what I mean? Get some Robitussin. I mean, I would assume the tussin could work here, but yeah, look, we send positive vibes out to Francisco Alvarez for sure. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Jody in Warren. What's up, Jody?
Hey, Jody.
Hey guys, big fan, as you know. Tiki, wife loves you. Almost a little bit too awkward for me in the house, but that's okay. But to your point, Tiki, Juan Soto, were you talking about the NFL before?
Right.
The players want their name on their building.
Right.
That's Juan Soto. He wants the big numbers as far as his production goes. He's already got it in dollars, but he wants to be in the Hall of Fame, and that'll obviously resonate well for the team. I just wanted to say, when you said that, immediately I'm thinking, yeah, that's Juan Soto.
You know what, Jody, it's interesting you bring that up, because like people always talk about, and appreciate your call, Jody, like, he's not a good leader. He's not demonstrative. He doesn't yell and scream and do it. Okay, but who cares? Go be great.
Right. They have enough guys like that. Like, Lindor's the leader.
But go be great, and that's leading enough.
Yeah.
And especially if you're great consistently. And it hasn't been that way, obviously, this year. We can throw out the statistics with runners in scoring position, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, over the course of the next decade, not even counting the entire 15, but the next decade, he's going to be great. Like, there's going to be stretches where he's the best player in baseball.
No doubt.
And so you got to be patient. It's baseball. We know how this thing works. I'm not worried about Juan Soto, despite some of the downs that he's had this year.
Yeah.
And by the way, you say downs, he's the first player in Major League Baseball this year with 30 home runs and 20 stolen bases.
Right.
Right? He's on pace to be, you know, hit, what, 270? Whatever the heck he's going to finish. He's going to hit 40 home runs and have close to 100 RBI.
Yeah, it'll be like 40-30, like you said, around 270. It's really boils down to, because even like with the slow start, it's the runners in scoring position, which I find to be more fluky than anything else. There were a couple of instances this season where I thought with runners on, he might have pressed a little bit, only because he went outside the strike zone.
Well, I think why people...
And he normally doesn't do
100%.
That.
And he's down, and it's like one, two, it's like strike. Swinging strike out of the zone.
Right, where it's like three pitches and he's up down. That feels like a guy trying to live up to a contract. Right. But overall, I think it's just been fluky.
I think the reason that the Met fan has been frustrated and the national and local media has got on him is because there have been a lot of those moments, runners in scoring position, where it's a clutch moment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, late in the game.
Like, perform. Mm-hmm. We need a hit. And he strikes out. So it's hard to forget those. So you end up remembering those more than the solo home runs that he hits, or whatever other positive that he brings.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.